Hey everyone, Rob here from the Snapcast, and today I'm joined by Sean.
Heyo.
And we're going to be doing a new thing here for the next 12 days. We're going to be doing the 12 combos of Christmas, specifically modern combos, because, well, we're more of a modern-centric podcast, and I figured combos and Christmas, alliteration, I like to have fun with that. But what we're going to be doing over the next 12 days is we're going to be going over different combo decks to include Counter's Company variants, Valakut variants, Titan, Copycat, Oops All Spells, and more. And then in our last episode, we're going to do a special dedicated to all the banned combos out there. So KCI, Hogak, Blazing Shoal, Boring Cheerios, and even Goryeo's Vengeance. I have that in there because, well, Faithless Looting killed that deck. Anyways, so what we're going to do is today, the first deck we're going to be talking about is Dredge. Sean here has a lot of experience out of the entire team here playing Dredge, and I figured he'd be a wonderful one to have come on. We're going to have Tyler come in, Jerry come in. You're going to hear a lot of the different teammates of the Snapcast because we can talk about the deck all we want, but let's get more experience from those who have actually piloted the deck and also recently played it. And Sean, you've actually played Dredge lately, correct?
Yeah, I've when I was up in Connecticut for a few months, I played it at a couple FNMs, and it's done extremely well.
Nice, yeah, and it's one of the decks, too, that you see popping up on MTG Goldfish, which also has a really good article. Granted, it is a little dated. We're going back 2016 here. Saffron Olive has a great article about the evolution of Dredge leading up to the rebanning of like Golgari Grave Troll and everything else. But first, we're going to go through, and for those who don't know Modern too well or don't know the Dredge deck, why does Dredge have its name? Like, where did it come from?
Dredge is named after the mechanic Dredge, which is from Ravnica?
Yeah, it's a Ravnica mechanic here that we have, and what it allows you to do is instead of drawing during your main phase, or at the beginning of your turn whenever you would draw, you can choose to dredge. And it reads, if you would draw a card, actually really whenever, sorry, if you would draw a card, you may put exactly, in this case I'm reading Stinkweed Imp, 5 cards from the top of your library into your graveyard. If you do, return this card from your graveyard to your hand. Otherwise, draw a card.
So the way you determine how many cards you're milling yourself or dredging is, you know, written exactly on the card. Stinkweed Imp, for example, says Dredge 5. Golgari Thug has Dredge 4, and Life from the Loam, Dredge 3. Those are the three main dredgers in the deck of what is current modern Dredge.
Yep, and we have to say that because, again, we used to have Golgari Grave Troll, which was a Dredge 6.
Yeah, he was banned, then he was unbanned, and then rebanned.
Yep, they printed out some cards back in Shadows over Innistrad, I believe it was,
yeah,
and Eldritch Moon that just made it really busted. I want to say there was one video I was watching, Gabby Sparks was streaming. I think she went through 48 cards on turn 2 and pretty much had the ability to win right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's restricted in Vintage at this point, which shows a lot about Golgari Grave Troll.
Yep. Okay, so we have these cards here. Okay, we're putting cards from our library into our graveyard. That's kind of counterintuitive to Magic, right? We want to be drawing cards. So how do we go about, like, you know, what is the goal with this then? How do we achieve victory with Dredge if we're just putting cards into our graveyard?
Well, Wizards of the Coast decided it would be a great idea to print some cards that reward you for putting cards from your deck directly into your graveyard. One example recently printed in Guilds of Ravnica, reprinted in Guilds of Ravnica, originally printed in Future Sight, is Narcomoeba, which is a 1/1 for 1 and a blue flyer. Whenever Narcomoeba is put into your graveyard from your library, you may put it into play. So yep. You have a 1/1 flyer because you just dredged 5 cards. Doesn't seem very intuitive until you look at Prized Amalgam from Shadows over Innistrad, which is when Prized Amalgam is in your graveyard, whenever another creature enters the battlefield from your graveyard, at the beginning of the next end step, you may return Prized Amalgam to the battlefield tapped.
Yes, and that's really where this deck starts to explode, because now, say you dredge yourself 5 with a Stinkweed Imp. I hit a Narcomoeba and 2 Prized Amalgams. At the end of the turn, I'm going to have 7 power on field, possibly turn 1 or end of turn 2. Huge advantage right there. And it only gets better with more cards that we have, too, that reward you from going to the library into the graveyard. One such, Creeping Chill.
Also from Guilds of Ravnica.
Yep, so Creeping Chill is a sorcery. It's a 4-drop, all right? 3-1 black. And target opponent loses 3 life. You gain 3 life.
Each opponent loses 3 life.
Each opponent.
You don't even target.
Yep. And what's great about that card, though, at face value, like right there, not too good. But if it goes from your library to your graveyard, you may choose to exile it instead. If you do, then you get that same benefit of each opponent loses 3 life, you gain 3 life.
So you're running 4 of those in your deck. Guaranteed, there's no time you're ever cutting Creeping Chills. You're dredging multiple times per turn in some situations. That's a free 12-point swing in your deck. You pay 0 mana to get a 12-point swing. You can essentially almost guarantee your opponent is starting the game at 8 life and you are starting at 32.
Yep. Now, you're hearing us talk about this and you hear us say, okay, well, drawing cards is bad. You want to be dredging. So how do we set that up if you start the game with an empty graveyard? What benefits do we have in the deck to help us out?
Well, there's a couple things to get the deck started. An older one is Shriekhorn, which is a 1-mana artifact. Enters the battlefield with 3 charge counters on it. You can tap it to remove a charge counter from Shriekhorn, and the target player puts the top 2 cards of their library into their graveyard. It's a very, simple dredge, essentially, without dredging. Shriekhorn's one of the best turn 1 plays you can have. You're going to mill a total of 6 cards, and if you hit any dredgers in your first 2, you're now dredging and Shriekhorning for the next couple turns. Otherwise, you can Shriekhorn at your opponent's second main phase. I'll get into why we're doing it in second main phase instead of end step in just a second. You can Shriekhorn in their second main phase. If you don't hit a dredger, you can untap, do it in your upkeep again for another chance to hit a dredger. Worst comes to worst, you take a natural draw, play your land number 2, and then you can cast Cathartic Reunion. So before we go into Cathartic Reunion, why are we Shriekhorning in your opponent's second main phase instead of end step?
That is because you want your prized amalgams to enter at the beginning of the next end step.
Whereas, so if you hit the exact combination of Narcomoeba prized amalgam, on your opponent's end step, you'll have amalgam come back instead of your end step, which means you'll be untapping with 4 power.
Exactly, and that's where we want it to be too. And that's good to do it at the end of their second main phase, because now their turn is essentially over at that point. They're not going to be casting any more sorcery speed spells to remove your creatures, and you're going to be entering the next turn with 4 power. And don't forget to activate it again in your upkeep before your draw phase, so then you can potentially hit a dredger and move on.
So I mentioned if you don't hit a dredger, you can play a land drop and cast Cathartic Reunion. Cathartic Reunion is a 2-mana sorcery originally printed in Kaladesh, 1 in a red. As an additional cost to cast it, you have to discard 2 cards and then you draw 3 cards. Each one of those instances of draw 3 cards, so each draw, you can replace with a different dredge effect. If you happen to get absolutely nuts and hit 3 Stinkweedums, you're dredging 15 cards for 2 mana.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's wonderful to be able to do. Cathartic Reunion is it was excellent whenever it got printed, and I think it was a combination of that and just how well some of the other decks were doing that actually led to another ban that the dredge deck hit, and it hit other decks too, but we'll get to the other ban card here in a minute.
So I want to make a point about Cathartic Reunion. Cathartic Reunion is the second best enabler in this deck. It is almost unbeatable, not because, it can't be countered. Your opponent can absolutely counter it. When you discard 2 cards, just discard cards with dredge from your hand. It's an additional cost, so they can't stop you from discarding those dredgers, and now you have your dredgers online. Yep. It is an absolutely insane effect and super efficient way to ensure you have dredgers for your, next draw step.
Exactly. You have to discard the 2 cards as you cast it. So even if it gets countered, those cards still go in the graveyard. Your next draw is going to be a dredge. Another way that we can do this too, it's a smaller version of it. It's Haggle. And this comes off of the card Merchant of the Veil. This is a 1 red instant. You may discard a card if you do draw a card. Both of these cards share something in common, and that is you are discarding first before you draw. We want to be able to do that because if we have those dredgers in hand, and a little bit later in game you're going to have Stinkweed Imps, you're going to have Life from the Looms in hand, you want to pitch them somehow. And being able to discard and then draw is just key for being able to continue on with your dredge mechanic and overall your deck's goals.
So now that we've talked about a couple of our enablers, let's talk about, some of the dredgers we're using. We mentioned Stinkweed Imp earlier. What is Stinkweed Imp? It's a 3-mana 1/2 flyer with, pseudo death touch. It says whenever Stinkweed Imp deals combat damage to a creature, destroy that creature. And it flies. And it has Dredge 5. That's all it is. Essentially, the deck's only ever really using it for the Dredge 5 purpose. The same for Golgari Grave Troll, which is a 2-mana 1/1. Whenever it's put into the graveyard from the play, put a creature from your graveyard on top of your library. Those 2 cards were essentially only using for the dredging purpose. There are a few situations where you need to cast a chump blocker because your dredges are just hitting lands. That happens. The deck has a fail rate. There is another dredger in the deck that we mentioned, Life from the Loam. This card is actually extremely important. On top of having dredge 3, it is a 2 mana, 1 and a green sorcery. Return up to 3 land cards from your graveyard to your hand. Rob, why do we want lands?
So lands come into play, and really filling your hand comes into play for two cards. The lands come in for the card Bloodghast. Okay, this is a 2-drop, 2-1 Vampire Spirit. Now, it can't block, but it does have haste as long as an opponent has 10 or less life. But the biggest thing is our lands. Okay, we don't want to miss land drops when we have Bloodghasts out swinging every turn and dying, because whenever a land enters play under your control, you may return Bloodghast from your battlefield or from your graveyard to the battlefield. So you can continuously recur Bloodghast. So even if they're chomping great, you're slowly ticking away at their battlefield while your Bloodghast is going to keep coming back as you continue to cast Life from the Loam. And you can, even if you really wanted to, like if you're out of like fetchable sources, you can still crack to fetch, pay one life, and then have Life from the Loam to be able to cast, get your fetch land back, play it, and then get Bloodghast back on the field. So you're still able to cycle it that way. You want to go ahead and talk about the other one?
Yeah, so Life from the Loam puts those lands from your graveyard back in your hand. As you get later into the game, you're going to notice you've milled over a neat little sorcery called Conflagrate. So Conflagrate is a X mana spell sorcery. It's 1 red and double X. Conflagrate deals X damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures and or players. And I believe it's been rerouted to Planeswalkers as well?
Yes, yeah, it is any number of targets.
Alright. The kicker, it has flashback for double red. So you're casting it from your graveyard most of the time because, well, you're going to dredge it over. So you pay double red and discard X cards instead of paying X mana. So you're going to cast Life from the Loam, put 3 lands in your hand. Then you can pay double red, flashback, conflagrate, pitch those 3 lands as well as multiple dredgers, hit your opponent for 7, hit your opponent for 9.
Yeah.
Great finisher.
It is. And sometimes, too, your opponent forgets about that conflagrate being in the graveyard because your graveyard gets massive and it builds up. And another card that we recently got, too, out of Theros Reborn was Ox of Agonis. And I know this is a card you've absolutely loved, Sean. Go ahead, talk about this one a little bit.
Yeah, so Ox is turned into probably the best enabler since Cathartic Reunion got printed. It's a 4-2 creature for double red and 3 for a 4-2. When it enters the battlefield, discard your hand, then draw 3 cards. So that on its own, you're paying 5 mana to pitch all the cards in your hand and then dredge multiple times. The kicker is it has escape for double red. So the way the escape mechanic works is you're casting it for its escape cost as well as exiling however many cards the escape cost is asking you for. So in this situation, Ox is a escape for double red and exile 8 other cards from your graveyard, and it escapes with a +1/+1 counter. So you're casting it for 2 red mana, exiling 8 very irrelevant cards most of the time. You'll be exiling extra lands, Shriekhorns that got milled over, Narcomoebas that have died, Cathartic Reunions, Merchant of the Veil, stuff like that. So then you'll have a 5-3, you'll discard your hand, dredge multiple times again. There are situations where if you end up with 4 mana and you start with an Ox, you can escape multiple Oxes. You'll hit almost your entire deck, you'll hit all your Creeping Chills, your Narcomoebas, your Amalgams, everything's coming back. And then you have a 5-3 on top of it. If it dies, you can escape it again.
Yeah, and it is a house to deal with, too, because over the course of the game, you know, you're building up these dredgers in your hand, and you may have milled over an Ox, but you have these dredgers in hand, you're not, you know, coming up on any other dredgers. Okay, so for 2 red, I get to discard them all, draw 3 cards, get 3 instances of dredging, and just like Sean was saying, you're hitting your Creeping Chills, or you're getting more Narcomoebas and Prized Amalgams out, and it's just not an instant game finisher, but that is a huge tie turner, I would say.
And there are times where you'll go very late into the game. Your opponent will be at, say they're at 6 health left. You only have 1 Creeping Chill left, but you've got, you know, most of your deck still. You weren't super lucky with your dredges. You can finally escape that Ox. You have 6 mana. It is not uncommon to escape your Ox, hit 3 imps, dredge 15, hit another Ox, and do it again. Just flip half your deck over immediately.
Oh, definitely. Now, with this deck, though, it seems like, okay, I need to be able to have an enabler in order to start dredging, because natural draws are bad. So when I'm looking at my opening 7, how aggressive should I be on my mulligans?
with Dredge, you can mulligan extremely well. It is not uncommon to go down to 5 cards. Even 4 cards is an extremely capable hand, because you get the benefit of putting those cards that you want to mill over in your back in your library from your hand. You're looking at your opening 7, you don't have anything decent, you should send it back. Same for 6 and 5. You go down to 4, you have a Cathartic Reunion, 2 lands. Everything else is irrelevant for the most part. You're going to put back those Amalgams, you're going to put back those Narcomoebas and Creeping Chills. You can keep the extra lands, keep a Shriekhorn, keep a Cathartic Reunion, keep a Dredger in hand if you have, you know, a Merchant of the Veil or a Cathartic Reunion, and just, you know, discard them, and now you are set to go.
Yep. And I've definitely had that before, so don't get scared if you're already on 6 and you're like, I think I can do it. If you're not able to at least turn 2, start discarding cards, then you need to back up and you need to take a look at, you know, just, hey, let's go down to 5 or let's go down 1 more. One good thing about the Dredge deck for those coming into Modern, I just pulled up the most recent Dredge deck as of today, December 13th, $535 for tabletop Dredge, or Magic Online, 180 tickets. And that's an outstanding price. Granted, you can probably trim it down to this deck list is running 3 Scalding Tarns. I don't think you need 3 Scalding Tarns. You can substitute.
No. Any red fetches and or green fetches are perfectly fine.
Yep. So you can go cheaper on that one. Arid Maces, you could, like, they only have one Arid Mesa. They can boost that up a little bit.
They're only running 2 Wooded Foothills. I'd go up to 4 of those.
Yep.
$100 for that playset compared to almost $200 for 3 Scalding Tarns.
Absolutely. So the deck by itself is pretty cheap, and the sideboard for it too is, I would say, somewhat flexible. There's no stock sideboard when it comes to Dredge, is there?
No, it is very, you absolutely can tune it to your meta with no problems. One of the cards I would recommend in that should be stock in every Dredge sideboard is Shenanigans, which was printed in Modern Horizons. Is it one in a red or just a red?
Well, let's pull it up real quick. Shenanigans, one in a red. Destroy target artifact, Dredge 1.
It is in my favorite sideboard card. It is recurrable. If your opponent's on specifically Grafdigger's Cage, it is absolutely amazing, because Grafdigger's Cage doesn't let you cast or return creatures from the graveyard to the battlefield. But that doesn't stop you from dredging. So
yep.
You dredge that Dark Blast and blow up that cage.
Yep.
You play another one, you do it again.
Now, you would also want to include some form of Enchantment Hate too, because Leyland of the Void is a card.
As well as Rest in Peace.
Yep, and we need to find ways to be able to destroy it. Thankfully, with Rest in Peace, it does allow Abrupt Decay to hit it. You could also run Assassin's Trophy, too. All of these cards are in your mana pie, if you will. If you're dealing with creature removal, Lightning Axe is another fantastic one, because for one red and discarding a card, you can deal 5 damage to target creature, discard that Dredger, move to the next turn, and go. And probably one of the biggest hate cards that could exist in the modern format itself, you can run Blood Moon. Because again, you don't really, like, your win con here being the the Conflagrate, it's double red. You're not really going to be casting anything else. Just don't lock yourself out of your Life from the Loams, so then you can keep your Blood Gas coming back. So make sure you at least have that Basic Forest out.
Although a lot of lists aren't currently running Basic Forest, Blood Moon isn't really too traditional. I definitely could see it being amazing in a big mana meta where you've got a lot of Titan decks and Tron decks. Blood Moon absolutely would be amazing. Sure, you're turning off your Life from Loams, but you can also just trim down your Life from the Loams to bring in those Blood Moons.
Exactly. The deck can win without them, because, you do have the Creeping Chills, you have your Oxes, so all those other avenues still exist for you to get your creatures out. So that's really it then for sideboard options. Last thing we want to talk about is cards that have been banned, and it's either exclusively because of Dredge or because of other decks out there. First and foremost, again, we already discussed Golgari Grave Troll. It was the best Dredger at Dredge 6. They unbanned it. Dredge really didn't do too much, but then Shadows Over Innistrad came out with Prized Amalgam, and they said the card had to go. So sadly, we lost Golgari Grave Troll again. Another card that got hit by a lot of other decks as well was Faithless Looting.
We could have an entire episode about all the decks that abused Faithless Looting.
Yeah, there's Hollow One, Phoenix, Dredge, Goryeo's Vengeance. There's a lot out there.
Hogak at the time.
Yep, but the reason, though, for those who aren't familiar with Faithless Looting, is for one red, you get to draw 2 cards, then discard 2 cards. But it also had Flashback. And again, just being able to abuse it, immediately drawing 2 cards, discarding 2 dredgers, and passing the turn, was one of the greatest things that you can do, especially if you're able to pitch two Cinquedoms, because you knew you were going to be going from there. And then having cards like Cathartic Greeting out there to be able to draw multiple cards just allowed you to go off even more. But overall, though, right now, you say Dredge is in a pretty good spot?
I would say so. If you're playing in a meta where you're having a bunch of other graveyard decks, it's, you know, you're going to eat a lot more hate. Hate can definitely, you know, ruin your time. You don't have much of a backup plan playing Dredge. You are very reliant on being able to flip your library into your graveyard.
Absolutely. And then any tips for beginners that are going to pick this up for the first time?
Before bringing it to an event, all I can say is sit down with it, play some practice hands. You have next to no interaction main board. Just get a feel for how your cards work. Get familiar with the most efficient way to put cards from your deck into your graveyard.
And a biggest, a real big thing too with me, when I first started playing it on paper, because like Magic Online, it will kind of coax you into the whole, hey, do you want to draw a card? On paper, though, you're probably instinctively going to go for that top card of your library. Put a die there, put something there to remind you, hey, you're playing Dredge, check your graveyard to see if you have a Stinkweed Imp or a, not a Grave Troll, but a Gorgari Thug, or, you know, another Dredger in the yard. So then you don't accidentally draw when you could have Dredged, because that's what you want to do. Those natural draws, you don't want to be taking. Just go ahead and Dredge.
My only other advice would be, don't be afraid to sort your graveyard. Put all your irrelevant cards on one pile and all your payoffs and Dredgers in another pile. It's a great way to get familiar with, you know, what's good as it's going in and what's you don't want to see. Eventually you'll get, you know, just a feel of, hey, I've been playing this deck enough now. I can recognize the cards at a quick glance, and you can just fan out your graveyard right in front of your library. And your opponent will constantly be asking, hey, what do you have? Hey, what do you have? And you just got to hand it to them. If they miss something, they miss something. It's not on you.
Yep. And again, like, don't be afraid of showing that information, because your graveyard is open information. Yeah, it sucks separating the important cards. I did that when I first started playing another deck we're going to talk about later in our mill segment, and that's Crabvine. And I did. I had to separate my my important cards off to the side so I knew which ones were coming in or which ones I knew had action on them or anything like that. And it helped me get better. Then over time, just like Sean said, you get the quip doing that. But Dredge, absolutely a fantastic deck. Once Paper Magic starts back up, I would definitely go out to events and hammer it home. Sodek, I believe, is the premier Dredge player, correct?
Yeah, he plays a multitude of other graveyard decks as well. He was a big advocate on Crabvine for a while as well.
Yep, so if you're looking for someone on YouTube or on Twitch, definitely check out their videos. We'll provide a link in the description below for them as well, so then you can go there. And why not tell them to Snapcast sent you, so then maybe we can get a little bit of love from Sodek. But Sean, you got anything else here on Dredge before we close it?
Don't be afraid of what people think of you. People don't think too highly of Dredge, but I have fun playing it.
Yeah, no, I've played Burn, I've played Neoform, I've played all of the degenerate decks that could exist, and people are going to get salty no matter what. Play a deck you think is fun, and honestly, I think Dredge is a very fun deck.
It's fun, and it's also extremely competitive. Dredge was my deck of choice when trying to grind FNMs, when I wanted to build up some store credit to get that, you know, that scalding tarn that they had in the case.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. Sean, thank you very much for joining us. We'll probably have you on for a couple more episodes, because there's a few decks on here I know you definitely want to talk about.
Absolutely.
And for everyone else, please stay tuned. Again, we're going to have 11 more of these coming out. Check out our YouTube page for those who don't subscribe to us on YouTube, or even those who do. We are currently doing a nice little promo with Deep Dive Games here in St. Mary's, Georgia. All subscribers will have access to a one-time use promo code for 5% off any purchase. That includes online purchases or in-store purchases. If you are a subscriber, go ahead and reach out to us on any of our social media outlets, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and shoot us a message. Show us that screenshot that you are a subscriber on our YouTube channel. We'll shoot you that 5% off code and have some fun. Those codes, it will expire at the end of the month, so make sure you get on that quick. Tell your friends, spread the word, and let them know who the best Snapcast is. But that's going to do it for us here. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a fantastic evening.